transmission.
Hello and welcome to Hello and welcome to another edition of the Dubious Goals Committee. My name is Tobe. I'm your president and chairman and sergeant of arms. And what are we talking about today? Well, the first thing on the agenda is hi-hats. And if you don't know what a hi-hat is, I suggest you look it up. It is spelled H-I-H-A-T, and it is a percussion instrument found in drum sets. If you already know what a hi-hat is, follow along with me now. The first time I ever saw a hi-hat, it blew my mind. I couldn't figure it out. I did not understand what was happening. Because you need to understand, I was about 4 or 5 years old, tops. And you gotta understand, as a child, I had seen a lot of musical instruments, and I was very familiar and could identify the majority of musical instruments in the world. Well, at least be able to tell you some of what some of the more obscure ones are. And I obviously knew what drums were. I mean, drum is probably the first musical instrument you learn as a child, and I don't mean to learn to play, that you learn to identify. Every child knows what a drum is. There are toy drums. You get one, everybody knows what they are. Following learning about drums, eventually you learn about cymbals, because you either see a marching band and you see some guy smacking some cymbals together, or you see an orchestra where you see some guy standing behind the timpani banging cymbals together, and so you end up learning cymbal. And then the first time you actually see a drum set, at least for me, it makes perfect sense. You go, okay, drums, I understand drums. Cymbals, I understand cymbals. But then over on the side of the drum set, there's this weird cymbal, and it's actually two cymbals that are somehow playing each other. Nobody is apparently playing this. Nobody's holding these two cymbals. They are horizontal, and they are on a stand of some kind, and they are on top of each other. One is on top of the other. It's like a sandwich, and it just opens and closes magically somehow, and it blows a four-year-old Tobe's mind. I didn't know the name of that thing, the hi-hat, but I loved it. Every time I saw one, I was like, ooh, there's that thing again. How does that work? And it was bugging the hell out of me. And of course, I had to ask my parents, you know, when I had the opportunity, when they were around and the hi-hat was visible somewhere, I'd be pointing to it, what is that thing? And they'd say, oh, those are cymbals. Yes, I know they're cymbals, but what is that cymbal thingy called? Okay, my parents could not explain to me what it was because they themselves did not know. And even today, I'm fairly certain that if you ask my parents what a hi-hat was, if you took them into a music store and said, point out the hi-hat, they probably would not be able to do it. My dad might be able to figure it out just on context. But at the time, they didn't know what a hi-hat was. They couldn't explain it to me any better than that. So it was a number of years of seeing this thing and wondering what the hell it was and how does it work? How does it automatically play? What's going on there? It's like magic. It was a long time before anybody could explain to me what this thing was. As a child, I saw a lot of bands play and a lot of musical groups perform. And when I say a lot, I mean, you gotta understand that I was being dragged to 3 or 4 music festivals every summer. And I was seeing multiple concerts throughout the year. My entire life. I mean, I'd been to more music festivals by the time I was 3 years old than most people go to in their lifetime. So I had lots of opportunities to see hi-hats and be driven crazy by them. Go, what is that? How does it work? I need to know what that thing is. It's making me crazy. So eventually, by the time I was in school, and I had some friends in school. It was my friend Booper, who I have known for decades. Since I've known this guy since the first day of first grade. And at some point in time, he got himself a drum set. So eventually on some fateful day, I was over at Booper's house. We managed to go into the basement, and oh my god, you have a drum set! Yeah. And there it was. He had a hi-hat, and I went running over to that thing, and I just started yelling at him, "What is this thing? What do you call this? What? How does it work? What? Blah, blah, blah." And the Booper says, "Oh, yeah, well, that's the hi-hat." And I just started laughing. I was laughing my ass off, and Booper couldn't figure it out. He's like, what's so funny? And I'm like, well, of course it's called that. Hi-hat. Of course it's called a hi-hat. That's the perfect name for it. Of course that's what it's called. It made perfect sense to me. As soon as I heard that, I just said to myself, oh, hi-hat. Of course. I get it now. I finally get it. And then when I was standing there, I realized, you know, oh, I see how it works now. There's a foot pedal that operates it, and I can stick my foot on it and go bang, 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 and make the cymbals crash, crash, crash. Oh, I was so relieved. It was one of those eureka moments. It was one of those eureka days. And so I just sat there, you know, stomping on it, going crash, 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 crash. And then Booper's like, well, you know, and that's not really how you work it. I'm like, wait, what? So how do you play it? You know, he sits down on the stool, and it's like, well, you hit it with sticks, but you can make different sounds depending if it's open or closed. I'm like, oh my god, this is the coolest thing ever. And so he sat there and he played a bunch of typical hi-hat sort of riffs for me and showed me all the basic techniques of how a hi-hat works and what sounds it makes and all this cool stuff. And I recognized it right away. You know, I hear these sounds, I'm like, oh, I've heard that on a record before. That's in such and such song. No wonder I've heard that before. I wondered what that sound was. Blah, 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 blah. It was a beautiful thing. Finally got to understand what the hi-hat is and how it works. And that's why I love hi-hats. I mean, to this day, I still love hi-hats. Every time I see one, I just go, oh, that's just the greatest thing ever invented. I'd love to shake the hand of the man who invented this. Whoever thought of this was a genius. And I don't know why I don't own one. And now I know you're saying, what, Tobe? How can you love a hi-hat so much? You're not a drummer? No, I'm not a drummer. I'm not a drummer of any kind. I'm not even a good percussionist. It's a miracle if I can keep a beat for 4 bars. In fact, in later years, my parents, well, mostly my mother, greatly discouraged any kind of drumming or even having any knowledge of drumming or having any technique whatsoever. That was one of those things that was verboten in my house, along with digging in the soap and other stupid crap. But that's neither here nor there. It is my personal opinion that the hi-hat is the most important piece of the trap set for a drummer. And I realize that sounds ridiculous, but for me, that's the most versatile piece. That's the instrument you're going to get the most variety of sounds out of. And so it seems to me, as a non-drummer, that that should be sort of the main focus. But nobody cares what I think. And that's why everybody's got to have a big bass and a snare, too. Although, we're starting to get away from that. In the last number of years, I've seen a lot of drummers using cajons as bass drums instead of an actual bass drum, which I think is interesting. I guess it's a little bit smaller, so it does make your kit a little bit more compact. And in my advanced years, that's about the only thing I'm concerned with. The only reason I don't have a band right now is I don't want to haul truckloads of equipment around. So I'm always trying to put music projects together that use the very least amount of instruments. I want to be able to all put this, the entire band's equipment, into a very small car and drive it to the gig. I don't want to rent a semi or a straight truck. I don't want to carry a PA around. So, if you're a drummer and you have a hi-hat, Give me a shout if you want to start a band. I am also of the opinion that drumming should be taught on a hi-hat. The rudiments of drumming. When drummers start out learning how to play drums, they start out learning the rudiments, which you can look up. I'm not going to go into it. And kids who begin playing drums, they don't even get to have drums. They don't even get to look or touch a drum for at least a year, 2 years into learning how to play. And what they do is they practice on something called a practice pad. And there's a number of different kinds of practice pads, but the most common one is just a rubber disc that bounces a little bit when you hit it, so you get a drum response from it. But there are other kinds. You know, why? Why? The kid wants to play drums. Why are you not giving him a drum? Or a drum kit item? And that's why I think children should start on hi-hats instead of practice pads and then moving to snare. Because you can play the same stuff on a hi-hat that you can a snare, plus you have all the variation involved. Then you can teach the kid some left foot technique at the same time. You know, it's just give the kid something to do. Here, you want to make a cool sound? Here you go. Instead, any kid who wants to play drums has to carry a practice pad around for a year. And if you've ever seen kids carrying practice pads around, they are not cool. Now, I'm not saying don't teach kids the Scottish rudiments. I'm just saying that a paradiddle is a paradiddle, whether it's done on a practice pad, a snare drum, or a hi-hat. So you might as well hand the kid a hi-hat. You know, it just occurred to me. Are there any other instruments that you learn them by not playing them? I mean, like I said, when you learn to be a drummer, you don't start off playing drums. And I'm wondering if there's any other musical instruments that are that way. Like, if you're gonna learn the violin, do you start off playing something else? No, you're given a violin on the first day. If you are learning to play guitar, you're not given something else for a couple years, and then you're given a guitar when you're ready. No, on your first day of guitar lessons, you are handed a guitar and said, okay, now put your fingers like this, or whatever. I'm racking my brain. I'm going through my entire ethnomusical catalog in my head. And about the only other instrument that I can think of that you start off learning something else before you're given the real instrument would be the Great Highland Bagpipe. When kids begin learning how to play the bagpipes, they are not given the bagpipes. They are given a single pipe that is end blown called a chanter, which is basically the main pipe of a bagpipe that you finger to make notes. And instead of it being on a bag, it's just end blown, so you're blowing into it. And that's how you end up learning to play bagpipes. And once you get good enough, then they hand you a bagpipe and they teach you how to breathe. But still, the chanter that you learn to play bagpipes with is still actually part of the bagpipe. You know, a practice pad is not part of a drum kit. It's not part of a drum. So I can't really think of anything else in that nature. Huh. I'll have to give that some more thought. But to get slightly back on topic, I'm going to come right out and tell you right now that that's the basic tenet of the Tobe School of Music. You don't start off with pretend instruments. You don't start off learning something on something else, because that's not how you get anybody interested. That's not how you hook anybody. In the Tobe School of Music, you are handed your instrument on the first day and you are taught how to play it. And you might be thinking, well, that's crazy. You gotta do all this other stuff. No, you don't. Trust me, I've taught more people how to play a musical instrument than I can count on two hands. And now I know all you music teachers out there thinking, oh, this is blasphemy. Yeah, yeah, your job security is shot. Yeah, no more charging by the lesson for something that can never be completed. And when I say this, what I mean is, have you ever noticed that when you want to go learn how to play a musical instrument, you are told how much lessons will cost? You go to a music store or wherever and you say, yes, how much are guitar lessons? And they'll say, well, they're $20 a half an hour or whatever. And you say, oh, okay. Then a smart person says, well, how many lessons will I need before I know how to play guitar? Yeah. Uh-huh. See how this works? They won't answer that question because they're not interested in you ever completing your lessons. You're gonna take lessons forever. That's the whole business model here. How many piano lessons do I need before I know how to play the piano? Yeah, see how this works? That's why in the Tobe School of Music, there's a fixed price. Your child will learn how to play the guitar and be able to do this, that, and the other thing, and it costs you $100. Well, how many lessons is that? However goddamn many lessons it takes. You're paying me to teach your kids something. I'm going to teach your kids something. You're going to give me money. I'm not going to rip you off and say, oh, yes, yeah, the lessons are $10 for 15 minutes. And I'm not going to drag this on by saying, and you need to bring your child to lessons 4 times a day, 7 days a week for 14 years. Yeah, no, it doesn't work that way. So, if you've got a child, or if you yourself would like to learn how to play an instrument and actually learn how to play it instead of learning things like A, B, C, and learning a bunch of shit you don't need to know, get a hold of me. I will teach you. In the meantime, for a little inspiration, why don't you listen to this?
Spread power with words.
For the consciousness of the nation, you have the sounds of the ancient foundation.
Destroy or conquer.
I think with the day we are left in the world.
wake up when you push us into third place. When the truth is uncovered and the story's been told, you won't be able to look me in the face.
I never had the feeling to either destroy or conquer.
You treated my mother's land just like one big plantation. You did this to the African, you did this to the Asian. Famines were caused not by God, but taxation. The fruits of our labor were used to build your nation, sucking us dry, our country's natural juice. Yes, our underdevelopment was caused by your abuse. Yes, our underdevelopment was caused by your abuse.
Transmission for circuit adjustment purposes from the Moscow radio telephone station. This is a transmission for circuit adjustment purposes from the Moscow radio telephone station. This is a transmission for circuit adjustment purposes from the Moscow radio telephone station. This is a transmission for circuit adjustment purposes from the Moscow radio telephone station. This is a transmission for circuit adjustment purposes from the Moscow radio telephone station. This is a transmission for circuit adjustment purposes from the Moscow radio telephone station.
Loyal listeners, you are still listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, and I remain ever truly yours, Tobe. Oh boy, I just made some tea a few minutes ago and it's too hot to drink. Don't you hate that? You want to drink some tea so bad, so you go and you make some, and you gotta wait a few minutes to drink it. Ugh, the anticipation. What do we have left here on today's agenda? Well, not a whole heck of a lot, unless you want to hear me rant some more about why your child will never be smart, why your child will never speak a foreign language, play a musical instrument, or meet their target weight. Your kid is fat because it sits on its ass playing video games all day because you don't let it go outside, you don't let your kid walk to school, and you're generally an idiot. That's why your kid sucks. That's my open letter to any parent who wonders why their child seems incompetent or not as cool as they were at that same age. And as much as I would love to give you more parenting tips, I'm afraid that this is not the parenting show. No matter how much I'd like it to be. I don't need a parenting show because I don't have any children. Well, Tobe, then how can you give parenting advice? Well, it doesn't mean I was never parented. So, where are we? I think it's time to play some ocarina. Never had a lesson.
Hey,
Not a single lesson ever. Then how can you possibly play that? Somebody had to teach you how to play. No. I'm just not an idiot. I think that should be everybody's goal, not to be an idiot. Do you wish you could have more earning power? Do you wish you could attract a member of the opposite sex or the same sex, whatever you're into? Do you wish that you were something that you are not? That's a problem. When I run into these situations myself, I just take a minute to pause and I take a deep breath and I say, hey, Tobe, why don't you be you and let marmots be marmots? And so then I do, because I will never ever get to be a marmot. No matter how much I want to be a marmot, I will never ever be one, no matter how hard I try. Speaking of marmots, I spent a lot of time looking for marmot tracks among all of those raccoon tracks at my favorite wetlands that is currently being drained for whatever reason. And so I was walking around on all the silt and it was very stinky. And I was looking at all the tracks and I found, approximately one gojillion raccoon tracks. And I love the snoodlers. And I found some possum tracks, but I did not find any marmot tracks, which I thought was a little unusual, but the marmot population has been down at this wetlands for a while now. We gotta repopulate it. I'm actually thinking about going out and capturing some marmots and then moving them to this place. I'm also thinking about doing that with skunks, but you know, if there's one thing I know, it's don't piss off a skunk. You can talk to skunks, you can do all kinds of stuff with skunks. You can walk around with them, you can hang out with them, you can have conversations with them. You just don't want to scare them or piss them off or freak them out in any kind of way. They will drop the bomb on you, the stink bomb. So don't do that. So I'm trying to figure out how am I going to get raccoons and, I mean skunks to the wetlands. We've already got plenty of raccoons and fat squirrels, the fattest squirrels you've ever seen, the kind that roll down out of the trees. I mean, seriously, you're walking along the trail and you're like, wait, is that a basketball in the tree? Oh no, it's got a tail. You know, come to think of it, I've been seeing some chubby rabbits around here recently too. I saw a pretty chubby rabbit at the wetlands last week. And yesterday or the day before, those rabbits that hang out in my backyard, I noticed that they're getting pretty chubby. I mean, we're talking about like 2 kilo rabbits here. I mean, geez, gearing up for winter. And I'd like to tell you all about all the other fat animals getting ready for winter that I've been seeing around lately. But it's that time again. If you notice, the clock is inching ever so closer to 20 o'clock. Which means my time here is up. So, why don't you tune in tomorrow, same time, 1930 UTC, same place, Anon Radio, for another exciting edition of the Daily Meeting of the Dubious Goals Committee, starring me and my cat Pippa and whoever else just happens to be around at that time. I myself need to go watch my pro Kabaddi League highlights. Wah! Kabaddi! And if you don't know what it is, I suggest looking it up because I'm out of time. Okay, bye, 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 bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.
You gonna give me the brutes?
No.
Okay.
Rom Carlson recorded that from the Seattle Phone Museum. It's pretty weird.